And I believe that God has a word for us today, and I'm excited to share it. But before we do that, you already heard us mention earlier how this coming Saturday is the last weekend of 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. So Saturday, this Saturday at 9 a.m., we're going to gather back in person because there ain't no snowstorm in the forecast, hopefully. But we're going to gather in person 9 a.m. for Saturday morning prayer as we end our season of prayer and fasting. So we can't wait to see you in person this weekend. We might be streaming it as well. We'll keep you up to date about that. But then also all of our ladies, as you heard earlier, maybe you didn't hear it, maybe you weren't early here on the stream earlier, but on February the 5th, it's a Saturday, first Saturday in February at 10 a.m., we are having our Women's Vision Board party. And so ladies, we want to see you, be a part of it. We want to encourage you to go online. You can register up there. Let us know that you're coming so that way we can make plans for you to be a part of that experience. So how many of y'all ready for the word? We got some people here. Our worship team is here. How many of y'all ready for the word? Online, you ready for the word? We're in this series called Dominate, and it's going to help us to continue to walk in dominion and walk in power. And so I want to go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, just one verse that we're going to dig into this morning. And I want to also encourage us to share the worship experience right now. Click the share button. If you're watching on Facebook, click the share button. It's super easy. If you're watching on YouTube, copy and paste the link. Send it to some friends. Send it to somebody right now, because I believe that today's word is a word that everyone needs. And for those of us who are watching on our website, text the website to somebody so that way they too can experience what God has for them. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and it's just one simple verse that we are going to unpack today. And in case you think it's only one verse, there's not a whole lot of meat in it. No, it is. God's word is alive and active, and I want y'all to know that he has something to say to us this morning. So here's what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says: "For God has not given us a spirit," everybody say it together, "fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." And today I want to preach, as we continue our series Dominate, I want to preach from this theme and thought: fighting back against fear. Fighting back against fear. Go ahead, type it in the chat. Fighting back against fear. We are fighting against fear today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, God, for who you are, for all you've done. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that this word, God, that you would minister to us through your word right now, that you would get the glory, that you would get the honor in this preaching moment, God. I pray that you would remove distractions, things at home, things that might be fighting for our attention. Would you allow us to lock into your word for these next few moments, that we would receive your incredible word in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. Fighting back against fear. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I think about that word fear, there's a few things that essentially come to mind, but I'll name two in particular. There's two things that I'm going to just be honest. I would say, you know, I don't like, but if we could just be honest, there's probably two things I'm actually afraid of, for real. And I'm going to let the cat out the bag right quick, and I know I'm going to probably get a few amens for some of us who are here in the sanctuary right here, and then some of us who are online as well. But there's two things that I don't like, but I think really, if I'm being honest, I'm afraid of them. Number one is wasps. Anybody scared of wasps? Anybody, when you see a wasp come by, you want to fight it and you jerk it? Anybody got anything like that happening in your life, right? Like, I can't stand them, right? Here's the second thing. Snakes. Am I alone in here? Does anybody kind of, you shake a little bit when you see some snakes and you don't like snakes. You want to send them back to the pit of hell from which they came. It was a snake that caused the fall of mankind to happen back in the book of Genesis. Those are two things I don't like, scared of, just be honest. And I think all of us in here got something that we are afraid of. I think all of us have something, if we could be honest, that we're scared of. Some of us are scared of heights. How many of you guys are scared of heights? Let me know online. Just drop a raise hand emoji. How many of you guys are scared to drive at night? I don't know. How many of you guys are scared of Chucky? You know, some of y'all had nightmares growing up. Did you have a nightmare, Pastor Eric? Like some of us had some crazy encounters. But then obviously there's some serious things that we actually are afraid of and that may be a bit traumatizing. But I think if we can be honest, all of us have experienced fear in some way. We might all have something that we might be afraid of. And that is something that I also think that many of us have been dealing with for the past 2.5 years, especially during this pandemic. I think fear has been something that's been rampant all around our country. I think fear has been something that's been rampant all around our community and around our neighborhood. And if we could be honest, I think fear has robbed many of us, myself included, of the life and the joy that God wants us to experience. Can I get a good amen? Can you be honest and say, like, man, fear has robbed me of some things? And when we think about this word fear and what it maybe has robbed us of and maybe has taken some things away from us, I think about here in this passage of scripture that we're reading, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Because the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to his young protege by the name of Timothy, his young pupil. Timothy was somebody that he was mentoring and he was discipling. And earlier in this book, around verse 2, Paul refers to Timothy as his dearly loved son. Now, just to give you some biblical context, because I believe in teaching the Bible, and I believe if you take the text out of context, you're left with a con. You'll catch that later. But Timothy was not Paul's actual biological son. Timothy was actually Paul's spiritual son. He was somebody that Paul mentored. He was somebody that Paul discipled. He was somebody that Paul invested in. And I want to pause parenthetically and say this. A key principle to all of us growing spiritually in our faith is that we have people who can pour into us. That we have some people who are mentors, not just one. I believe that one person is good, but it's best to have multiples. That's why the Bible talks about how plans succeed with a multitude of counsel. And so the question I want to ask us is, who do you have right now in your life that's pouring into you? Who do you have right now in your life who can sharpen you spiritually, somebody that you may look up to? And Paul and Timothy were people who did ministry together. And one of the things that happened constantly was Paul, as he was going from place to place and ministering to different communities and planting churches, he had this guy by the name of Timothy with him. But later on, as Paul would plant churches in cities like Ephesus, he was pouring into Timothy for the sole purpose to release Timothy to pastor and to lead these churches and to lead people of Christ in cities, specifically Ephesus. Ephesus is modern-day Turkey as we would know it. But here Paul is giving Timothy some encouraging words pertaining to his call, pertaining to his gifting, something that he wants him to live by, but also something that he wants him to lead by. In verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, just to give us more context, Paul tells Timothy, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God, or fan into flame the gift of God. What does Paul mean by this? He says, Timothy, I want you to keep your gift active. I want you to keep it red hot. I want you to use your gift. I don't want your gift to go dormant. I don't want your gift to go silent. No. I want your gift to be something that's used constantly. And Paul talks about how you received this gift, Timothy, by the laying on of hands, meaning this, that Timothy was what we would call ordained as a pastor. He had other pastors and other elders, if you will, who laid hands on him to confirm the call of God on his life. And so Paul is essentially saying, hey, don't forget, Timothy, that you've been given an incredible gift. And don't sleep on your gift. You got an incredible gift. God wants you to use your gift. And I want to encourage all of us here today, watching online in person, I want you to know that God has given you an incredible gift, and he does not want you to be silent with it. He wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to sit on it. He wants you to use it to serve people. He wants you to use it to make a difference in the lives of others for his kingdom. But why, the question we got to ask is this, why would Paul tell Timothy this? And if you do some more deep study, one of the things that you realize is Paul was telling Timothy these words because Timothy, as a young pastor, was experiencing opposition to his gospel that he was preaching, to his message, and to himself as a leader and as a pastor. He was a young pastor. And because he was connected to Paul, who was always experiencing opposition physically and spiritually of all kinds, Timothy himself is also experiencing opposition and challenges of all kinds. Challenges on many levels, which leads Paul to say the words that we just read in the beginning of the sermon. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why would God say, why would Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear? More than likely, because Timothy was experiencing fear and timidity himself. He was experiencing pressure. He was experiencing discouragement. Timothy was maybe experiencing some challenges. Timothy was experiencing some difficulties. And the question that we gotta maybe ask is what was causing Timothy to be fearful as a young Christian, as a young pastor? Maybe it was the opinions of people. Maybe it was pressure from other people. Pastor Timothy, you should do this. Pastor Timothy, you should do that. Matter of fact, early in 1 Timothy 4, in Paul's earlier letter to Timothy, one of the things that Paul tells Timothy is, do not let others despise you because of your youth. In other words, don't let others disqualify you from your calling because of your age. Because one of the things that oftentimes we can believe is this lie that I gotta be of a certain age to be used by God. And that's simply not true. God can use anybody, no matter how young they are, no matter how old they are, no matter how rich they are, no matter how poor they are, where they live, how many degrees they have, how many degrees they don't have. God can get glory out of anybody, and it's not about ability, it's about availability. And Paul has given Timothy these encouraging words. He says, Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And I find it to be interesting. Because what Paul is helping us to understand when he says God has not given us a spirit of fear, I want you to write this down. He helps us to learn something about fear. Number one is this. He helps us to understand the source of fear. He helps us to understand where fear comes from. So notice what he says. God has not given us the spirit of fear, which helps us to understand this. Number one is this. Fear itself is a spirit. And not only is it a spirit? It is real, and God did not give it. So the question is this. If God did not give us a spirit of fear, and the spirit of fear is real, where did it come from? And I think the answer is obviously simple for many of us to know. It did not come from God. It came from Satan himself. It came from our spiritual enemy. This is why earlier in this series, in the first sermon of the series, Strap Up, we talked about how we don't wage war against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and wickedness and dark powers under the auspice of the enemy, Satan himself. The spirit of fear does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. And this word fear is interesting because it doesn't just mean what you and I may think. It actually means, in the original Greek translation of the New Testament, it means cowardice. It means timidity. It means to shrink back. Fear does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. Now, in the Bible, you'll see things like the fear of the Lord and honoring God. The fear of the Lord is not talking about a trembling, if you will, in a sense of I'm scared of God. It's a reverential awe of who God is. But when it talks about the spirit of fear, it's talking about how you and I are threatened or causes us to shrink back when we face opposition of all kinds. This fear is one that leads to timidity. It means to cower back. It means to retreat. It means to be intimidated. And if we look all throughout the scripture, one of the things that you will constantly see is how many believers face this spirit of fear. And specifically in the Old Testament, I want to read the scripture to you. In the Old Testament, there was this instance where God was calling his people to occupy the promised land that he had for them. In other words, God was calling his people to dominate. And Moses, their leader, sent out what we know as spies to check out the land that God had promised them. And I want you to notice what happens in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, send men to scout out the land of Canaan I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one man who is a leader among them from each of their ancestral tribes. Watch this. Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the Lord's command. Well, let's jump down to verse 26. Moses sends out the spies. They go check out the land. Here's what it says. Verse 26 of Numbers 13. The men went back to Moses, Aaron, and the entire Israelite community in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back a report for them and the whole community. and they showed them the fruit of the land. They reported to Moses, "We went into the land where you sent us. Watch this. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. And here is some of its fruit." In other words, they're saying it's got great promise. It's got great potential. It looks good. It smells good. This is an awesome place. It's like our dream house. It's got all the rooms. It's got all the decor. It has everything that we want. But notice what it says next. "However," they say, "the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev. The Hethites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "Let's go up now and take possession of the land, because we certainly can conquer it." Watch this, though. But the men who had gone up with him responded, "We can't attack the people, because they're stronger than we are." So they gave, watch this, a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted. They say this, "The land we passed through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great size. We even saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim." Watch this. "To ourselves, we seem like grasshoppers. And we must have seemed the same to them." I want y'all to see what the spirit of fear does. The spirit of fear causes us to not only retreat, but it reduces us in size in our own perspective. They say, clearly, we were like grasshoppers to them. And in our own eyes, we ourselves were grasshoppers. I want y'all to see the tragic thing that takes place in this story. The spirit of fear caused the people to shrink back from walking in and taking hold of what God had already promised. God had already said, "This belongs to you." God had already said, "I got something reserved for you. I got it on hold for you. I've already set it aside for you." But because the people were controlled by a spirit of fear and consumed by a spirit of fear, they did not go and occupy that which God had promised. And the question I want to ask us is this: how much territory are we giving to the enemy in our life because of a spirit of fear? Because here, the Bible tells us that the Old Testament believers were paralyzed by fear. And Timothy now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, is obviously wrestling with fear. And the question I want to ask us is this: is fear at work in your life right now? How do you know if fear is present in your life? There are things that God has called you to do that you have not moved on. Maybe it's the spirit of fear that's at work. Because what fear does is it keeps us from moving forward. And I want you to hear this. I want you to get this in your spirit, family. Because the enemy knows he can't destroy you, what he tries to do is discourage you. He don't have the power to destroy your life. But what he does have the ability to do is to discourage your life. And the enemy understands, because I can't dictate whether or not you occupy the territory. What I can do is influence you so that way you begin to believe the lie that you can't occupy what God has given you. So what the enemy does is he discourages us with all the things around us. News reports, Facebook posts, text messages, conversations from other people. All of us at some point have come face to face with fear. What fear causes you and I to do is to think about worst case scenarios all the time. It's hard for us to see the positive in something. Remember what the text said back in Numbers 13. They came back with a what report? Negative. Because one of the things that fear causes you and I to constantly do is to be negative. That beneath oftentimes a negative spirit is a fearful spirit. And what God says is this: I don't want you to live a life of fear. I want you to write this down, take a screenshot of it. Fear can cause you to forfeit God's promises for your life. Fear can cause you to forfeit God's promises. How many promises of God have we forfeited because of fear? Come on, can we be honest? Because if I can look back over my life, there's been many opportunities that I've missed out on, not because of a lack of opportunity, but because of a lack of courage. Because fear was present. Come on, am I alone? Am I in good company? Come on, if you know I'm telling the truth, come on, put some hand raise emojis in the comment section. Come on. I think if we could be honest, we've missed out on a whole lot. Not because God isn't good, but because we allow fear to get in our hearts. And it paralyzed us. And it prohibited us from being able to move forward. And I just wonder, are you sick and tired of forfeiting what God has promised? Are you sick and tired of allowing fear to control your life? Because all of us will be faced with fear in some way. Fear of maybe you and your family and your friends contracting COVID and testing positive for COVID. Maybe a fear of losing your job. Maybe it's a fear of people judging you, a fear of people rejecting you, a fear of failing, fear of having a tough conversation with the person that's close to you, fear of stepping out on faith and trusting God. And can I also give us another indication of fear? Anxiety is oftentimes connected to fear. Because it's a fear of the future oftentimes, or the fear of something that can harm me, that will oftentimes cause me to have massive amounts of anxiety in my spirit. Can I ask you this question? What are you anxious about right now? What are you worried about right now? What's consuming your attention right now? What's consuming your thought life right now? What do you spend so much time losing sleep about? What's the thing that you're stressed about right now? Because more than likely, whatever it is that you are anxious about, whatever it is, the thing that you're afraid of, fear has gripped your heart, and it has now begun to dictate the pace in which you move in your life. But I want to let you know this, that in spite of the fear that we're often faced with, I want us to look at what the scripture says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. This is the good news, fam. Because here's what this tells us. That God, if he has not given us a spirit of fear, and before we look at, he's given us a spirit of power, love, sound mind, before we look at what God has given us, I want us to see something very encouraging. Because for God to give us what we need, it means that he must know what we need. And in order for him to know what we need, that means he must be close enough to us to know what we need. And if he's close enough to us to know what we need, here's what this means. God is with us. Come on, somebody type amen in the chat. Here's what this means. It means that no matter what it is that we are up against, no matter what it is that we're facing, no matter what it is that we're dealing with, the good news before anything else is that God is with us. He has not left us. He has not abandoned us. He has not forsaken us. He has not checked out on us. God is with us. How is he with us, family? Through his presence. Through his Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about when you and I trust in Jesus, when you and I trust in Jesus, he gives us his Holy Spirit, his very presence. And the reason that we can be hopeful when we're faced with fear is because God is with us. I want you to see what Isaiah 41 says. Do not fear, for I am with you. Why do we not fear? Because God is with us. For I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. And I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteousness. I love this scripture. When I was preparing this sermon today to give to you and this week to give to you, the thing that I love about this scripture is how God says, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. Don't be afraid because I will strengthen you. Don't be afraid because I will help you. Don't be afraid because I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Is there anybody here online and in person who's grateful about the fact that God is with me, that we ain't gotta be afraid because God is with us. I don't know if you knew this or not. When I was preparing for the sermon this week, I happened to Google the word fear, and I actually specifically began. I wanted to find out, you know, I was just doing a Google search about what the Bible says about it. And as I was typing what the Bible says, all these different prompts came up. Do you know what the number one prompt that came up was? What does the Bible say about fear? It is the most Googled search when it comes to what the Bible has to say. And I found that to be interesting, but the more I thought about it, it made sense. Because if we could be honest, for the past few years, and even before the past 2 years in this pandemic that we're in, fear has been something that has been so prevalent in the lives of so many people. And people are afraid. What's gonna happen with my kids? What's gonna happen with my finances? What's gonna happen with my career? What's gonna happen with my job? They're downsizing. Am I gonna lose my job? Am I gonna keep my job? This variant, the new variants are popping off like every single week. And am I gonna get COVID? And I got a shot. I didn't get a shot. I'm wearing a mask. I'm not wearing a mask. And fear is just running rampant all around. Did you know this, family? That the phrase "do not fear" or some iteration of it is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. Do not fear, or some iteration of it, is mentioned 365 times in the scripture. How many days do we typically have in the course of a normal year? 365. Leap year 366. So it's almost as if God is saying, for every day that you live, I'm going to give you this promise. Don't be afraid. Why would God give us this 365 times? Maybe because he knows how easy it is for us to give into the spirit of fear. Because as you and I live our lives, we're going to be faced with so many different things that can bring about a spirit of fear. Come on, can we be honest? The thing that you might be afraid of or faced with fear with might be different than the person in the room with you, different than your neighbor, different than your spouse, different than your community member, different than your classmate, different than the person on your job. All of us are faced with fear in different kinds, and all of us, I believe, need to be reminded every single day, do not be afraid, because I am with you. Because God wants us to live a life free from the control of fear. And I don't know what you're afraid of right now. I don't know if it's a health condition. I don't know if you're fearful about having enough money to pay for things. I don't know if you're fearful about a conversation that you need to have that might be difficult. I don't know if you're fearful about a step of faith that you need to take. I don't know if you're fearful about confessing a sin and confessing a struggle and bringing out into the light out of the darkness that you're dealing with. I don't know what fear you are facing, but what I do know is that God will be with you no matter what it is that you're facing. What I do know is that God has given us a promise that when you face fear, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And when Paul writes these words to Timothy, I want you to understand something very profound about this. When Paul writes these words, lean into this. Come on, I want you to get close to the screen. If you're on the couch, walk up to the screen right now. Paul, when he writes this, y'all, he's imprisoned in Rome. And he's facing execution. The sentence has already been given that he's going to be beheaded. And he's writing to Timothy while facing death. He has every reason to be afraid. But yet he tells Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I don't know about y'all, it takes something different to look death square in the face and say, I'm not going to be afraid of nothing. It takes something different to be able to be waiting your execution. It is a guarantee to happen. But yet you can tell Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. If anybody was qualified to say this, it's Paul. Because Paul, it'd be different if Paul hadn't been through nothing. It'd be different if Paul was going through the pleasantries of life. Paul is in a prison waiting execution. But yet he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. And I wonder if through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as God is using Paul to speak these words in the pen this letter to Timothy, if it's encouraging Paul as he's writing these words. As a reminder, Paul, just as I'm giving these words to give to Timothy, I want you to keep them in your heart. Don't be afraid. You have been faithful. You have fought the good fight. You have kept the faith. That's what Paul would say at the end of this book. Paul says, Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us one of power, love, sound judgment. He's telling Timothy, don't be afraid. I want you to write this down. I need you to get this in your spirit. You might be confronted by fear, but you don't have to be controlled by it. We're going to be confronted with fear. We're going to be face to face with this thing almost probably every single day of our life. But it's one thing to be confronted by it, but it's a whole other thing to be controlled by it. And the promise that God gives us is, hey, in this life, you're going to have many troubles and you're going to face a lot of things. But the good news is this. Though you might be confronted by it, you don't have to be controlled by it. Though we battle against fear, we don't have to bow to fear. Isn't that good news? To know that I might be faced with an impossible situation and I might get some news that's earth-shattering, things that I did not expect to happen. I might have to face something that I did not plan on facing. You did not expect to have to face what you faced already in 2022. You can't control that. But what you can control is whether you'll be controlled by it. And God says, you don't have to be controlled by it. You don't have to bow to it. How can Paul say this? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us one of power, love, and sound mind. Here's what this teaches us, that we already know about the source of fear, but here's what Paul helps us to understand now, the remedy for fear. That when you and I face fear, you need to remember the remedy that God has given you. And the remedy is this, he's given you his Holy Spirit, and the spirit that he's given you to combat fear is one of power, love, sound judgment, self-control, sound mind. I want to break this down. When Paul says power, everybody say power. I'm not talking about the TV series that came on Stars. I'm not talking about ghost power. I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. Cheesy pastor pun, I know, yes. But he says power. That word power is the Greek word for dunamis, which is where we get our English word dynamite. In other words, Paul is saying God has given you an explosive power source on the inside of you. And he will say this in Romans 8, that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave now lives on the inside of you, which means this, church family, when you are faced with fear, you have power to overcome it. It means that you don't have to bow to it. You have power to do what God has called you to do. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 says. I want you to get excited as you hear this. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive. Do you know what captive means? It means we take control. It means we bring it under subjection and we make it obedient to Jesus Christ. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you one of power, which means this. You've got power to pull down strongholds through the power of Christ. Let me make it plain and practical. When a spirit of fear comes knocking on your door and when thoughts begin to come in your mind, I won't have enough, I might get this, and this might happen, and this might happen, you have the power of Christ on the inside of you to take that hold, to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, to bring it under the power of Christ. So when the thought comes that you won't have enough at the end of the month, no. My God supplies all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. When fear comes knocking and says that this is going to happen or this is going to happen, no. God covers me. He comforts me. He meets me in my time of trouble. You can bring those things under the power of Christ because God has given you not a spirit of fear, but one of power, and also one of love. Which means this, when we receive and rest in God's love for us revealed through Jesus, it enables us to walk in the confidence and the authority of God and not timidity. And I really want to spend just a moment with this. Because one of the things that oftentimes the enemy will plague us with is when things happen to us, one of the background thoughts that will oftentimes replay in our minds is that we're not loved by God. If he loves me, how could he allow this to happen? If he loves me, if he loves this person, how could he allow this thing to happen? But when you understand that God's love for you is not based upon the conditions of circumstances, but based upon his character himself, when you are receiving his love and resting in his love, it gives you a stability and a security. So no matter what it is that you face, you can say, I am loved by God. I'm chosen by God because God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. I want you to see what 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says. It says it like this. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. Watch verse 19. We love because he first loved us. The reason why we don't have to be afraid is because we have the love of God. Because God loves us. And I know that might seem very simplistic. No, that is the truth. Because I think at the core of so much fear is that we're not cared for and we're not loved for. And God says, no, that's so far from the truth. If you need evidence as to whether or not I love you, Romans 5 and 8 says this, I demonstrated my love for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, my son Christ Jesus came and died for you. If you need proof of whether or not you're loved, look at the cross. If you need proof as to whether or not you're accepted and chosen and valued and precious to God, look at the cross. Look at the cross. Reflect on the cross. Reflect on his love. He says, God has given us a power, a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love. Watch this next one. And sound judgment or a sound mind. Some translations say self-control. They all mean the same thing. It means this, that a person's life is under control. They are calm. They are well-balanced. They are disciplined. They have self-control. In other words, let me say it like this. There is a peace to them. There's a calmness to them. Because one of the things that fear causes you and I to do, if we could be honest, is it causes us to think irrationally. And it causes us to act impulsively. How many times have we acted impulsively because we were afraid of something? How many conclusions have we jumped to simply because we were afraid of something? How many assumptions have we made simply because we were afraid? Well, what Paul says here is, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you one of self-control, discipline, one of peace. Maybe this is why the Bible also says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we live by sight, we will always live with the spirit of fear on the inside of us. Because as long as we are paying attention to the winds and the waves of life, we'll be faced and buffeted by the fear and the things of life. But when our faith is connected to who God is and what God has said in his word, it allows us to have a place of peace. Here's what Paul says and prays for in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, watch this, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why is it so profound? Because wisdom is something that's not connected to what you see. It's connected to the very nature of who God is. He is wisdom. And Paul says, what you need is not more money. What you need is not a bigger house. What you need is a spirit of wisdom. Because when you get wisdom, you can walk in self-control. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 tells us this, is self-control. And if there's one thing that we see happening right now all around us, is so many things are out of control. And what fear thrives off of is the things that we see. Have you ever been in a situation where in one moment you were good, but then you got some news, or then you got a call, and all of a sudden it felt like your heart was filled with anxiety? Have you ever experienced something like that? where you got a report or where you had a conversation and you were good coming into the conversation, you were peaceful, you were having the best day ever, but the minute you had that conversation, you begin to feel fear creep up on the inside of you. Why is this so important to understand and to discern? Because fear is connected to sights and sounds. I don't know if you remember this story in the book of the Bible where Jesus called his disciples and he met his disciples on the boat as he was walking on water. And one of his disciples by the name of Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, bid me to come." And Jesus says, "Come walk to me on water." And Peter begins to walk on water. He does something miraculous, but watch what happens. The Bible says he begins to pay attention to the winds and to the waves and to the sounds and to the sights. And he begins to slip and fall. The Bible says he became afraid. Because what fear causes us to do is to take our eyes off the miraculous and focus on the mess. We focus on what's not right. We focus on what we are lacking. We focus on what we don't have. We focus on what they did say. We focus on what happened on the job. And so what happens is we focus on all these superficial and surface things, and it begins to allow us to be controlled by fear. But God says, "I don't want you to be controlled by what you see. I want you to be controlled by what I have said." So let me say it like this. Fear thrives off of facts, but faith thrives off of truth. Fear thrives off of facts. Fact is, you got a negative doctor's report. And when that happens, the fear just begins to creep in. But where the faith begins to kick in is, in spite of the facts, I begin to focus on the truth. And the truth of the matter is, my God is still a healer. That he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I could ask or imagine. And when my eyes are not just fixed on facts, but when they're fixed on truth, my faith begins to increase and fear begins to decrease. It means that when we're faced with uncertainty, we don't got to panic now. It means that we can pray. And if you remember the prayer journal and the prayer guide that we gave out day one of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we got it on our website as well, on the front of that prayer cover and prayer journal, it says, pray first. Before you panic, pray. Before you start to plan, pray. Before you begin to pull out the hair, pray. Before you begin to worry, pray. Because when you pray, it postures your heart and your perspective on God. And God has promised to keep those in perfect peace for those whose minds are stayed on him. And when you understand that, it allows you and I to no longer walk in fear, but to walk in faith. So how do we fight back against fear? We fight back against fear by recognizing that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, sound mind. 2022, this year, or whenever year you're watching this, is the year of dominion, which means this: we no longer will be controlled by fear. Come on, it is no longer our master. Why? Because our master's name is not fear. Our master's name is Jesus. And Jesus has conquered all things. He's conquered sin. He's conquered death. He's conquered evil. He's conquered darkness. And he's even conquered fear, which means that if he's conquered fear and I'm in him, that means I also have dominion over fear. Jesus faced all of our fears for us. He took them to the cross and he disarmed them. So now when fear comes knocking, we can overcome it because Jesus already did. I want you to understand this. When you look at the cross, family, it wasn't just Jesus dying for your sin. It was him disarming dark powers. It was him disarming fear. It was him disarming anxiety. It was him disarming worry. It was him disarming fear. It was him disarming all these things that begin to fight and compete for our attention. When Jesus went to the cross and when he rose from the grave on the third day, it shows that there is nothing that he cannot overcome, which means if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Which means that through Christ, we don't conform to fear. We conquer fear. I want you to get this in your spirit, that in Christ Jesus, we don't conform to it. We conquer it. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says, through him who loved us. Fear is a liar. Fear is a loser. Because Jesus has defeated it, and because we are in Him, we already have victory over fear. And I just want to know, is there anybody here in person, online, come on right in your living room, is there anybody here that is excited about the fact that you no longer have to be controlled by fear, you no longer have to be dictated by fear? No, you are a conqueror over fear. You will not bow to fear. You will battle against it, and you will beat it, because Jesus has already done so. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We've overcome fear and can overcome fear because Jesus has overcome fear, and He's given us the keys and the dominion in the form of His Spirit. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, sound mind. And I just believe that some of us are here watching online and in person. I believe that some of you are here right now and your life has been controlled by fear. Your life has been controlled by difficulty. Your life has been controlled by anxiety. But I want you to know this morning that you no longer have to be a slave to fear. You no longer have to be controlled by fear. I know that when you look at the state of our world and maybe your life, there's so much you could be afraid of. I'll be honest, we got a call this week. Our family got a call this week and we got some news that kind of was like, whoa, wait a minute. But Ariel and I, we were talking. We're like, no, we're not going to choose to focus on what appears to be not functioning or not working. We're going to focus on the truth, which is that God is with us, and He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, sound mind. And I believe that God is saying the same thing to all of us. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, sound mind. God says, this is the year of dominion. Don't walk in fear anymore. Be free. You're going to face it. We can't do anything about that. We're going to be faced with fear. It's going to come. It's going to happen. Just be prepared for it. It's going to happen. Things are not going to be perfect. It's going to happen. But you don't have to be controlled by it. You can walk in victory over it. I don't know what you're going to go through this week. I don't know what you're battling right now, but what I do know is that God has given us a promise that we can overcome fear. So I want to ask you a question right now, right where you are in your home. What are you anxious about right now? What are you afraid of? What are you dealing with right now? What are you wrestling with? What's the thing that keeps you up at night? You don't even tell anybody about it. I'm talking to some men right now. You're watching online, and on the inside, you feel like a scared little boy because you look at everything that's happening in your life right now, and it feels like you're losing control and you don't have control. But I want you to understand this. God didn't actually call you to control everything. He actually called you to give Him everything, put it in His control. Because when you do, you receive peace. You walk in power. I'm talking to some of you right now, parents, you're worried. You're fearful about some of the things that are happening in our country right now. Kids going to school. And you're wrestling with it. I want to encourage you to let you know that God cares more about your kids than you do. He made them in His image, not yours. Those are His sons, His daughters. He'll cover them. Take care of them. Some of you right now, you're afraid for a family member going down the wrong path. Your heart's filled with so much fear. I want you to know that God sees them, is with them. Walk in peace. This year, you're not going to be bound by fear any longer. We're going to bring these things that we might feel afraid about into the light. We say, God, we give you these things. Because here's what I understand. And here's what I've known from my own personal experience and from Scripture. The thing that we're most afraid about when we bring it to God, He's promised us to take care of it. Because He works all things out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know, one of the things that God told me a long time ago that I constantly kind of replay in my mind? Because I remember one time I was so frantic, so worried, but like mid-20s, I can't remember, it was a crazy season. It wasn't a bad season, but you know, you just get fearful about certain things. And I remember, like, just, man, how's this going to work? How's this going? And it was like God spoke to me through the Spirit, said, yo, chill out. I got you. Don't you know I love you? And the more I meditated on that and ruminated on that and reflected on that, as opposed to reflecting on the lies of the enemy, not going to have enough, not enough, this, that, and the third, the more I began to reflect on God's truth and what He spoke to me, the more His peace began to overflow and overtake my mind and my heart. So can I give us a word of encouragement right now? Chill out. Stop being so scared. I say that respectfully. You gotta be scared. I think there was a song back in the day when I was like in high school. It's got a guy by the name of Bone Crusher. Bone Crusher. Said he's never scared. But you know what? In Christ Jesus, we actually don't have to ever be scared. You're gonna face it. You're gonna face it. You're gonna face it. The enemy's gonna wanna throw the kitchen sink at you to discourage you. There are things that God is calling you to walk in right now, and it seems very intimidating. God is calling some of you guys to step out on faith, to do some crazy, crazy, crazy things right now. And you're disqualifying the purpose of God because of your inadequacies. I don't have this, and I don't have that, this, that, and the third. And beneath all of that, honestly, is a fear of failing. And God says, if I'm for you, who can be against you? Called you to it. Walk in it. I've given you power. Use it. Come on. I'm giving you love. Rest in it. I'm giving you a sound mind. Walk in it. Think on it. I want you to know that you're more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. This is the year of dominion, which means you don't walk in fear. You will not be a coward. You will be somebody who's courageous. God sent me on assignment this morning, whenever you're watching this, this evening, this afternoon, to let you know, to give you a word of encouragement. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Yes, you may face giants. Yes, you may face opposition, but God is greater than all of it. It's time to walk in dominion. No longer will you forfeit territory that God has rightfully set aside for you. Territory of your family, your marriage, your kids, job, career, whatever it is, calling. We're not giving it up anymore. Nope. We will walk in it. In Jesus' name. So right where you are, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, right in your room, right in your apartment, wherever you're watching this from, in your cubicle, maybe you're in the car, on the job. I want you right now to begin to ask God. Begin to ask God to take control over the things in your life right now that are bringing much fear. You know what it is. I don't know. You do. You know what's keeping you up at night. You know what you're wrestling with. That fear is causing you to look at things so differently. It's causing you to look at things beneath who you are. God says, release it to me. Because I've given you not a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, sound mind. Would you begin to release that to God? Just say as simply as this, God, I give you this thing I'm afraid about. Whatever it is, I want you to say it. You're right at home by yourself. It's just you and your family. Maybe you're by yourself. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, God, I give it to you. I'm afraid of this. I'm scared. I'm shaken. But I don't want to be controlled by this any longer. I don't want to be afraid anymore of the possible prognosis. I don't want to be afraid anymore about the potential for this to happen. I don't want to be controlled by that anymore. I want to walk in power, love, sound mind, the spirit that you've given me. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. All of us are faced with fear, myself included. All of us, like the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, face giants in life. But Lord, would you help us to not cower back like they did and bring back a negative report. But Lord, would you help us to have the spirit of Caleb, who says, surely we can take the territory. Surely we can occupy what you have called us to. Would you give us the strength to walk in power, love, sound mind. I pray, God, for my sisters and brothers right now who have been gripped by fear during this pandemic. I pray, God, for families who have been gripped by fear. I pray for husbands and wives, single moms, single dads, widows right now, gripped with fear. I pray for children right now who are gripped by fear, fear of darkness at night, fear of what their friends will say in school about them. I pray right now for them in the name of Jesus, God, that as they are releasing these things to you, that you are reminding them that you have given them not a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound mind. And God, in this moment, would you encourage them that they would walk in boldness and in victory. In Jesus' name, while heads are bowed, right where you are, some of you right now, you're in a place right now where you've been trying to do life by yourself. I want you to understand this. Life will always be scary when you're trying to do it on your own. But Jesus says you don't have to do it by yourself. If you trust in me, I will fight all your battles. And what Jesus did to prove the fact that he will be faithful to us is he went to the cross and he shed his blood on the cross for our sins. Our sin is what separated us from God. It caused spiritual separation, a gap, if you will, between us and God. But Jesus says, I'm going to come stand in the gap and I'm going to do so with my blood on the cross. And some of you right now, you have been trying to carry the weight of life by yourself. You've been carrying your sin around. You've been carrying your strongholds around. You have been carrying all the different things around that you have done. And I want you to know it's too heavy for you. But Jesus says, if you would come to me, you can receive my forgiveness. You can receive my grace. You can receive my love. You can be a part of my family. So if this is you and you're watching right now and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to say yes to him today. I want to receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I want you to say these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me not a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, sound mind. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Come on, church family, online family, can we bless God for those who said yes to Christ today? Come on, I need y'all to do better than that. Come on, drop some digital hand clap emojis in the comment section. Come on, and if you said yes to Jesus today, here's what I want you to do. We're honored that you watched this experience, worshiped with us, heard this message preached, and I pray that it gripped your heart. And if you prayed and said yes to Jesus today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to text the word, I decided, to 94,000. Text, I decided, to 94,000, because we want to follow up with you with some next steps. We want to help you grow in your faith. We want you to know that you have a spiritual family here called The Bridge Church, whether you're local in our area, whether you're in another state. We want you to know that your family, no matter where it is that you are, but do us a favor, text I decided to 94,000 so that way we can follow up with you and share some next steps. And before we get ready to close this worship experience with prayer, I want to let you know, church family, that our church, God is using our church to reach so many different people in our area locally and then all throughout this country. And so much of it has to do with the generosity of our church. And I love the fact that our church is generous, that we're faithful, that we give financially to God through the local church as God has prescribed in the scriptures. But I love the fact that also that God has blessed our church to have incredible people who not just give, but also serve and are volunteering in so many different ways. But maybe today you're like, man, Pastor Edwin, I want to honor God beginning today with my giving. We want to invite you to do that. And we make it really simple. You can go to our website, thebridgechurchva.com. You can give up there. Maybe some of you guys in here, like you're watching online, you've never given to God. Maybe you've been scarred because of experiences or whatever the case may be. Here's what I want you to understand. Do not allow past experiences to cause you to not be obedient to God. Because when you and I are obedient to God, it allows us to be in posture to experience everything that God has for us. So I want to invite you to give. And we believe in tithing and beginning our giving at a level of 10%. It doesn't stop there. It begins there. And the reason why we say it begins there is because we believe that God has given us the greatest gift in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And because he's given us his greatest gift, we want to give our greatest gift in response to what he's done. Amen, somebody. Amen. Were you blessed by this experience today? Come on, come on. Make some digital praise. Give some digital praise to God. Come on, Pastor Eric. Come on and close us out in this worship experience. We look forward to seeing you guys Saturday morning for Saturday morning prayer at 9 a.m. in person. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be incredible. We can't wait to see you. Ladies, remember, sign up for our vision board party on Saturday, December 5th, right on our website. We can't wait to see you. Hey, I can't wait to see y'all next Sunday. We miss seeing y'all in person, but we're going to be back in here next week. Come on, Pastor Eric, come on and close us out.